This is a special presentation by the radio players on WSIU.
Gold. What shiny substance has ever hardened the hearts of men more or driven women to deeper depths of madness than the shiny metal that so blinds us with desire? Tales of gold's wickedness date back to King Midas in Grecian times, whose very touch turned everything stiff and shiny. Too much of a good thing? Let's review the antics of that little fellow who would spin straw into gold for a price beyond the worth of gold. We all know what that cost was in terms of human suffering. Time for the rest of the story. But first, let's meet the cast of The Name Game. I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be the narrator.
I'm Eric Billingsley. I will be the Miller.
I'm Christopher Rathundi, and I will be King Otto.
I'm Aubriana Noelle Rathundi Olson, and I shall be Giselle.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I shall be Rumpelstiltskin.
We'll all be drinkers, the cast.
Yes. I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be drinker number one.
I'm Steve Falcone, and I'll be Sir Cedric.
Scene one, Proud Papa. Radio players take you back in time, fairy tale time that twists and turns in the oddest ways. We're in an 18th century village, the type that looks like every other village of time. Observe, if you will, the large man in the center of the square, standing beside the king's carriage. Bold fellow, by the way, he speaks right up to his majesty. Miller bows.
Welcome to our village, sire. I am the town miller.
That fact is most apparent.
Nodding.
The keen perception of the regal mind.
Dust trail of all that crane. I really must move on. It has been interesting to meet you.
At that precise moment, a beautiful maiden crosses the town square. Alas, lovely enough to cause even a king to stare.
I see you've noticed my lovely daughter. Is she not a sight to behold?
Truly a vision in motion. And a credit to your village.
That is far from her only asset. This child of mine can spin straw into gold.
King shakes head.
I do believe grain dust has clogged my ears. could have sworn you claimed that your daughter could spin straw into gold?
Astounding, is it not, Majesty?
Hard to believe is what it is.
Nods.
The child is almost too good to be believed.
On that matter, we agree, Miller. Well, the only way to know for sure is a test of the maiden's...
Giselle's
abilities.
Smile fades.
A fine idea, sire. If only the lass was not so busy.
I cannot imagine her being too busy to spin straw to gold for her king, Otto.
Normally she would.
Normally she shall do as her king commands. Have Giselle brought to the castle this evening. A wheel and straw shall await these wondrous skills. Her ruler eagerly anticipates a room full of gold. Death awaits her failure.
Scene two, Oh Papa. Many of you already know where we are. For those who don't, I'll provide a hint or two. The cold stone of the walls allows the wind to roar right into the room and right through the bones. The floor is strewn with straw. We are in a desolate tower of the king's castle. Giselle stands weeping by a spinning wheel that dwarfs the chamber. All as monumental as the task set before the maiden. Helplessly, she stares at her father.
Father, are you mad?
If you imply deranged with delight at the extraordinary abilities of my daughter, then yes, I am crazed.
Oh, Papa, ever since Mama died, you have made me your whole world. Some supreme creature capable of anything.
Miller beams.
At last, you see your true worth.
And you are blinded by overwhelming feelings, Father. I am a child of our town, one more maiden of the village, no more, no less. I possess modest skills. I most certainly cannot spin straw into gold.
Miller pats daughter's hand.
There, child. 'Tis but maidenly modesty keeps you from grasping the complete reach of your gifts.
wags a finger.
Papa knows. Once you have begun, the task will come easily to you, and the work will flow. You shall see, dearest. You shall see.
Miller exits.
So shall we all, I fear, Father.
Scene 3. Giselle stands midst a deep pile of straw, much of it wet from her tears. Her crying and sighing inside those thick walls, deaf to all ears, except one. Well, two. The ears that could hear Giselle, there were two of them. A pair the way all ears come. They are attached to a miniature man with a beard drooping over his belt, eyes that twinkle with merriment. Or is it devilishness? Hard to say. He seems to have appeared from thin air, his pointy boots striding boldly into the room.
Who
are you?
Now there's the big question, isn't it, lassie?
Where have you come from?
Oh, another head scratcher that will be told in time.
What do you want?
Now there's a query I'll be handing back to you, lassie. What do you want?
Well,
this wet straw answers the very question. You'd like it spun.
It's a gold.
Let me guess. For the king?
Well, yes, how did you know?
'Twas but an educated guess, my dear. Gold and power go hand in hand. Always have, always shall.
I must spin this straw to gold by dawn under pain of death.
Oh, nasty business. Even for the likes of King Otto. Well, either way you spell it, he's an animal.
Oh, this is all Father's fault with his outrageous claims of his child's skills.
Well, fathers are like that, I'm told. Not that I ever knew mine.
Shrugging.
Well, to the matter at hand. The more you weep, the wetter the straw gets, and the harder it is to twist.
Who cares? The situation is clearly impossible.
Oh, well, not necessarily.
One glance told me you were some mad creature run free.
Ooh. Well, looks can be deceiving, lassie. Mad I may be, running indeed, but I do not come for free. I shall spin this damp straw to gold. For a price.
Oh, that's so wonderful. You shall save my life. I've not to pay you for your fee.
Well, now, those beads about your neck, I fancy them.
This trinket is but colored glass. Given time, a payment worthy of your deed shall be rendered.
Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, lass. If you take your tearful self to the side, I shall get to work.
To a far corner of the lower chambers, Giselle removed herself, soon falling into a slumber to the rhythm of the wheel. Scene 4. More and more. Before the cock could crow, King Otto appears in the middle of the tower chamber, speechless, struck dumb by the glittering sight before him. Gold, smooth coils of the purest gold, rich beyond his wildest dreams. Who could want for more? I think we know who.
What marvel is this?
Runs hands over coils.
Your modesty overwhelms me. But your father, wise man that he is, he knew. Oh, must press some small gesture of thanks upon him.
Turns to Giselle.
You shall not be forgotten, my dear. No, indeed. We need not speak of that matter at present.
Fondles gold.
Oh, at present, there is more labor to be done. More straw to work your magic upon. I shall have a larger pile brought, one worthy of your talent.
My understanding was that I should spin straw to gold but once.
Your understanding is what I command you to understand. You shall be given a pile of straw twice the size of last night's amount, and you shall spin it into gold. Understood?
Yes, sire.
Weep if you must. It seems to agree with your performance and may save your life.
Scene 5, pedal to the treadle. Back in the tower, all seems the same, but for piles of straw spread across the chamber, stalks everywhere. Wisps of stalks surround Rumpelstiltskin, who spits and waves them away as he enters the tower. He seems to emerge from the mist.
How do you do that?
He kicks straw with a pointy boot.
Well, my methods are not of concern to you, lassie. 'Tis the result where the balance of your future lies. Knowing Otto as I do, I'd wager that he's doubled the straw with your life again, forfeit for failure to produce gold. May his greed eat him.
It's all too horribly true. How am I ever to manage such a feat?
Oh, come now, lassie. There's little time for coyness. Why, I'm hardly here for my health. A matter that makes itself plain. I've come to spin for you once more.
The workload is doubled, and I've nothing to offer in payment.
Ah, the ring on your finger has a pleasing sparkle.
This? It's a piece of... Mm-hmm. It's yours, of course, if you want, if you wish it. Take it gladly as payment for all
I admit, let us bypass the pleasantries, shall we? Stand as far aside as possible. If I turn this chamber into shimmering light...
Shakes head.
Could be here all night. Hey, nonny, nonny, here we go. Spinning more straw to gold.
Scene 6. It's the Stein talking. As the wee creature labors through the night, spinning dry stalks to shiny metal, the miller whiles away time away with some spinning of his own from a perch at the local beer garden. Stein aloft to salute his daughter again and again and yet again.
Here's two.
Here's them all.
And as I told you,
yes.
Pardon the father's pride.
Once, twice, thrice, we might abide your fatherly pride, not half the night, as you keep doing, Miller. Enough already.
Yeah.
You don't understand. She's
been so told. We heard.
Why not go to this marvelous child?
Oh, no, I cannot do that. She must work alone. His Majesty's orders.
Then go home for the sake of all in this garden and sleep it off.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, I must. I truly do need sleep. After one more Stein.
Lift Stein.
Here's to...
Scene 7, the grand prize. The last strands of straw begin to glow just as the cock crows. That very moment, greedy King Otto strides into the chamber to lay hands on his new treasure. With hardly a nod to Giselle, he rushes to his new gotten gains and begins tumbling the gold through his eager fingers. Treasure gives him such pleasure. The greedy monarch looks about to roll around in his new pile of wealth.
I am pleased that you are satisfied, Majesty.
Oh, I am pleased with you, Giselle, but far from satisfied. My thirst for more gold remains unquenched. All of your amazing endeavors have opened my eyes to your true worth.
You are too kind, sire.
Fondles gold.
Not so very kind that I shan't command you to spin yet another pile of gold for me.
The king goes to her, takes her hands in his.
Oh, hear all of my thoughts, sweet girl. I've come to feel fond thoughts toward you these past days. It is my wish to take you to wife. A rush of uncommon jolt to the system, I'm aware. The joy shall set in by and by. Soon enough, the wonder of it all shall enthrall you. You are to be my queen.
And if I fail to spin straw to gold?
Oh...
Kisses her hands.
Well, your life shall be forfeit. A ruler must set his standards and live by them.
Scene 8, a raw deal. Rumpelstiltskin's entrance to the tower that night was not what the wee creature had bargained for. Movement was a battle to part the stalks that threatened to overwhelm him. Could a body be smothered by straw? A body of extremely diminutive proportion, perhaps.
Good sir, I'm over here.
Hark! The voice has a familiar ring. I cannot place the face.
Spitting and swatting, the wee fellow crosses to Giselle.
It occurs to me that I do not know your name.
Oh, all in good time, child. Am I up to take it from this flood of straw that old King Glutton once more?
It's worse than that.
What could be worse than death?
King Otto wants me to be his queen.
Bows.
I stand corrected.
Swats its stock.
While I still stand, the deep greed of a man who would have his cake and eat it too, so to speak.
What choice have I?
Oh, slim to none. That'd be my guess. Well, best get this straw shiny first thing. Keep you alive to face come what may.
I've nothing left for payment. Absolutely nothing.
Strokes beard.
Now, I am a man of reason. Open to barter. I see no cause why we can't strike a suitable bargain.
Unstop your pointy ears and hear me. I've nothing to repay you for your efforts.
Rubs ears.
Little cause for harsh comments, lass. To him that's your only hope.
Forgive me, gentle fellow. I'm out of my head with dread, scarcely aware of my own words.
Well, you've a right to a terror, child, given the peril that besets thee. Well, there may be a path up ahead to free from ruin.
Anything, kind sir. I'd give everything, but what? Nothing, I tell you. I've not a thing to offer.
Well, not at present, lass. But in the time ahead, when you're Otto's queen...
Why would you say such a thing?
Well, the fact is there to be faced. Alive or dead, you dance to the king's tune. Wanting it all the way that he does, your majesty shall be expecting a child from you. Hmm? Well, this is the way of the world for the queen.
Well, I suppose a baby would soften the hard edges of life with Otto.
Smiles.
A wee bundle of sunshine to bring light to otherwise dark days. A little cricket chirping with love. How I shall cherish it.
Then the child shall be mine.
Did you say...
My final payment for services rendered.
This is madness. Fantasy is what this is. Make believe pure and simple. Have my child. I give him or her to you freely, gladly. Do you favor twins? One of each? Done. Why not be bold and demand triplets of me? I mean, my womb is at your disposal.
One child shall do nicely, girl or boy, as nature decrees.
Throwing herself down.
Spin me to gold as well. That'll surely please his majesty.
Oh, he desires you in the flesh, lass. A horrid fate for any woman. Life can play terrible tricks at times. Well, now, down to the business of earning my just deserts. One more time.
Scene 9, Royal In-Law. Back in the beer garden where the miller spends more and more time, he lifts the shaky stein and toast.
To her majesty.
The queen.
See you.
Your daughter. We know. With child. So you have told us all night. Congratulations. Why not go to her?
Who am I to intrude upon a queen in labor? Only the one who brought her to the king's attention. A father caring enough for his child's fortune to urge her to heights that she dared not dream of. Heights now so lofty she can no longer see her father beneath her.
Plops head on table and weeps.
Thank you.
Scene 10, royal heir. The wedding of royal decree has come to pass, as has the inevitable arrival of a baby boy. Nature will have its way. The scene at present is a pleasant one, a radiant young queen rocking her newborn to sleep as she hums a lullaby.
Strange and wondrous is fate. Here I sit in a lofty position of wealth and power, the likes of which I never dreamed. I've come so far, so fast, the past is but a blur. A labyrinth of vague shapes and lost memories, a place I no longer wish for my mind to go. Look at me now. Oh, if only Father could see me now, as well as our little prince, Charlie the First. Bonnie Prince Charlie, as his people will call him, waving and clapping thunderously as he passes by in the royal carriage. We can have nothing to do with the man I once called father. He is a commoner, a peasant, and far too fond of a stein. Oh, Prince Charlie must never know this man.
She rocks child and hums.
Oh, men, an unpleasant fact of life. Thank heavens that beast I'm bound to no longer craves my attention. Scarcely even notices me, so driven is our sire by other desire. The sight and touch of gold. Any moment of the day, his majesty may be found in his counting house, ignoring his queen, his prince, his people, all for the glimmer and clink of his shiny pile.
Rock's child hums.
A stroke of good fortune for us, Bonnie Charlie. To be left alone by that beast parading as a monarch? He'll trouble us little in the future, I'd vow, as he grows madder each day, less aware of the world around him, fading into a soulless creature. Oh, good riddance, we cry, sweet Charlie, free of our masters to breathe as we please, to bring you up a proper young prince, who shall one day make a marvelous monarch. Yes, sweetling, it will happen sooner than anyone thinks. Bonnie Charlie will be tall, handsome, and properly bred to become King Charles the First.
First, he must come with me as final payment.
Clutches the baby to her.
Who are you? Guard! Guard!
They can't hear you, lass. Or should I say, Majesty?
He bows.
How well you've done for yourself now. There's many hardly recognize the miller's daughter as I do.
You have a distinct advantage of me. I have not the foggiest notion of who you are. Guard!
As I have told you, lass, your defenders have been given a small sleep for the present. If you turn your mind to think into the past, Majesty, you shall recall our bargain. Now, those days, you were but a maiden bereft of the power to help yourself, which I did thrice over. The last bargain was ever more straw to gold in exchange for the babe in your arms. Good of you to quiet the babe as I take him to his new home. What a proudly delightful new papa I am.
Get away, monster! 'Tis surely a nightmare I am having, a hysterical fever dream brought on by fear.
Fear well grounded, if long denied by your heart.
Pulls child her.
This fruit of my loins, heart of my hearts, shall be pride for me over a dead mother's corpse.
There's little need for hysterics here, Majesty. As the fact of the matter remains in your mind, however much you seek to deny it, truth will out.
I care not for truths from the past, when the present fact is a child of my bearing nestled in his mother's arms, where he belongs, and shall stay by any means I must employ to retain him.
Ooh. Spoken with the fierceness of true motherhood. Touching to the coldest hearts. Well, once again you summon my softer nature. 'Tis the good in yourself I find distracting. Well, one more proposal I offer you, lassie. This being your very last chance. Name my name within the fortnight, and wee Charlie remains in your arms forever. Fail to say my name, and the babe remains with me all of his days. No hint of a mother shall he know. What say you to these terms,
I refuse them utterly.
Not an option, lassie. As a bargain was struck long ago, terms I forego to offer this final arrangement. Refuse this bargain, and the child is mine today.
What choice have I?
None but the present offer. Mark ye well, a fortnight from this very day.
Thaddeus?
Nay, failing to call my name, Bonnie Charlie
Alfred.
Is mine ever after.
Edward?
Agreed.
Rollo? Stuart?
Not close so far. Now I shall return in 3 days' time to hear more of your guesses. You keep Charlie warm in my absence.
Harold!
He exits.
Quentin! Marcus! Lucius! Darwin!
Scene 11, What's in a Name? The kingdom is in an uproar over the threat to Prince Charlie, as the queen has given out her story. Her Majesty's elite guard has scoured every inch of the realm, high and low, with no sign of the wee man. King Otto scarcely glances up from his counting to absorb the news. In turn, his subjects take little notice of the driven remains of the sovereign. The queen is now the de facto ruler of the land. At the moment, she is in a frenzied state. Days have passed, 1 week gone with no progress in naming of the wee man who craves her child. Needless to say, the queen is in a state. A knight arrives before her, filthy with dirt and rubble. Bows awaits her majesty.
Speak, man, what have you learned?
High and low I sought, majesty, over streams and uprises.
Spare me the road map. What have you found?
Naught, highness.
Oh, useless! Like all men, you are...
Cedric, ma'am.
Cedric, of course. The state of your garb attests to the effort given to the task. Go sup and rest before taking up the quest again.
Nay, majesty, my vow is to take no food or sleep until Prince Charlie's threat is found. By your leave, I shall strike out again at once.
There are good men. I do tend to forget now and then. Godspeed, brave knight. May heaven bless your endeavor.
Scene 12, Lullaby. All alone in the deepest part of the dark wood, a tiny man in pointy shoes dances around a fire. He sings as he dances.
Hey, nonny, nonny, hi, hee-ho, digging around the flame I go. Certain no one knows my name. Let them search high and low, wherever they go. I'm not there, this spot too distant, the name too queer. Out of range of all, a gawking and a talking, this sweet bundle shall be mine for all time.
Scene 13, In-Law. The miller has his head up off the bar, shaky stein raised to speak.
I shall go forth and defend my grandchild, leaving no stream uncrossed, no forest unexamined, till Bonnie Charlie is safe in his palace. This much I vow before God and man.
Words scarcely out of his mouth when the miller's head falls back on the bar, his stein puddling beer about him. Scene 14, Late Stroll. With all able bodies, from knights to squires, yeomen to serfs, about in search of the wee man, the queen, finding herself alone amongst cooks and maids, decides on a stroll into the wood. Lost in a frenzied worry, she treads farther and deeper, oblivious to the drooping sun. The manic mother thinks, rethinks, and overthinks all possible answers to how her bonny boy could be saved. As fortune and fairy tales would have it, she wanders upon the faint lilt of a gruff voice raised in song, a voice she'd know anywhere. The queen goes stone still and listens.
She's run out of time. The child shall be mine. In all eternity, she'll not find how to win the game by naming my name. Rumpelstiltskin, she shan't exclaim. Rumpelstiltskin, Rumpelstiltskin.
Tears of joy in her eyes, the queen strides quietly home, eager for the morrow's surprise. Scene 15, Gotcha. When the wee man arrives on the last allotted day for the queen to guess his name, knowing his prowess, she does not bother to alert her guards, armed as she is with the only weapon she shall need to keep her son. In but the mere utterance of a name is the battle won. Were the moment not so terrifying, it might be fun. Time to smile has yet to come. A matter of life is at hand. Through the mist, he appears.
The moment is here, lassie, for you to take your futile guess, or two, or a few at my name. A pure formality as I see it. You can't name my name in 10,000 tries.
Oh, good sir, would you not find it in your heart to leave Charlie here where he belongs?
Oh, save your tears and pleading. They'll not work on me. I'm a man of my word. A bargain is a bargain. I held up my end. 'Tis your turn to do the same.
Oh, dear Lord, I have no notion of where to begin.
Makes little difference, lass. The game is already over. Would you not avoid all the agony and hand the babe over to me now?
Hamish. Willard.
Oh.
Barabbas. Tristan. Damien. Jasper.
Come, lass. You wear yourself out to no purpose. Can we not lay the matter to rest?
Percy, Baldrick, Lionel, Silas, Elias.
Oh, fine attempts, lassie. Marvelous. Truly. You could not have done better.
Splitskin.
What?
Shake's head.
Enough of that. I'll kindly ask for my child now.
Rumpelstiltskin?
Found out the wee man emits a feral scream often heard from jungle cats in the depths of agony. He begins to stomp about with such violence that he twists himself literally in two, both halves of this mysterious man twirling out of sight into infinity. Giselle muses.
Prince Charlie will remember none of this.
She smiles.
Unless someone happens to tell him.
This has been a special presentation of The Name Game, an original radio play written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This production was recorded live in the WSIU radio studios. Post-production sound designed by Hanice Coopwood. Support for the arts on WSIU is made possible by listeners like you. WSIU is powered by you.